transition. This is why we moved the music to the start of the show. But Nathan, he actually cares about his family. He had a family thing today. So Nathan Hiltz, we were honored to move him to the end of the show today. NathanHiltz.com, that's the website. It's time for Live on the Drew Marshall Show, devoted solely to the art of music. Over the years in my life, music has spoken to my soul far more than preachers. It's been 10 years since jazz guitarist Nathan Hiltz released his first and only solo album, Your Love is a Plane Crash. Da-na-na-na. That's exactly what needs to happen at the end of that. 2007. He has spent the last decade touring Canada several times, in addition to lending his immense talent to a wide variety of recording projects and songwriting collaborations. But today, we don't really care about all that other nonsense. We care about the one and only Mr. Nathan Hiltz being here in studio with us. Sir, how many times have you been here?
This is my third time, Drew.
Your first time was with Beverly, I believe.
Beverly Taft, yeah.
Do you remember that crazy setup? Because it was you, Beverly, and
couple... trombone.
I thought there was another player as well. No, just trombone?
I think it was trombone, guitar, voice. Probably the weirdest instrumentation
it was fantastic.
That you've ever had.
It was. It really was. Yeah. I want to know how things are going with your wee one, because your wee one is pretty wee.
Ah, she's 11 weeks.
Congratulations.
Yeah, 11 weeks. She's doing really good.
What did we name the wee one?
Leah.
That's a beautiful
Leah
name.
Madeline Hill.
Oh, I think I made a comment about her having buns in the side of her head last time.
Ah, right. That would be Leah.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
So
yes.
Close and yet yeah. So far.
Yeah, for sure. She's doing really good. She's got her baptism tomorrow.
Oh.
So I appreciate you letting me come in a little later today, because this morning we had our baptism workshop to learn about what's going to go down tomorrow and all that.
You know? Learn what's going to go down tomorrow.
Yeah.
She's getting wet.
She's going down tomorrow.
Talk about what it means and all that.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
It's
yes.
Great.
Yeah. 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 Your most significant guitar playing moment.
Ah. Well, I would have to say, you know, that would be maybe playing with the Boss Brass at Kerner Hall a couple years
That's
ago.
That's just ridiculous. How did that go down?
It was just the guitarist that was going to do it is Ted Quinlan, is someone I've studied with and I work with. At Humber College, where I teach, mm-hmm. he last minute couldn't do the gig. He needed to have emergency kind of eye surgery thing. So I ended up getting the call to go play with the band the day of. So that was a really amazing kind of day. I was on another gig in the afternoon at the Pilot downtown, and I was supposed to go play a dance later that night. So I just, in about 30 minutes, I scrambled to get someone else to fill in for me at the other gig, and sped home after this gig to get my black clothes, and then ended up at Kerner Hall playing with a big band, charts that I'd never seen before, read before, playing the parts that Ed Bickert would have played.
How do you do that?
I mean, well, you know, I mean, you
That's
fake it. You
no,
fake
no,
it.
No,
you leave
no.
stuff out.
That is savant stuff, man.
No, not really. You know,
yeah,
like,
definitely music sheets.
The thing about the Boss Brass music is so well written. It's masterfully written by Rob McConnell, and it's actually really easy to read and understand what it is.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the guitar is not a very crucial part to the Boss Brass, so
okay.
You know, I was able to hide. There was a few parts where I was nice and exposed, but it was an amazing experience and really kind of woke me up that day.
You're a humble dude, man. That's one of the things I've always loved about you. I snuck into the Rex one time to check you out.
No way.
I know, my sneaky, very, very sneaky. And it was in the middle of the day. It was like a late afternoon kind of thing. It was during some kind of downtown music thing, fest, whatever. Hmm. Walk Off the Earth was performing at in the big parking lot by the Bell Media building there. And anyway, walked in, and there you were just ripping it up on stage. And the audience was gobsmacked.
Oh.
And, you know, it wasn't – You were just into the music. You just are into the music.
Right.
I hate to state the overstated or the – I don't know, whatever. Anyway.
Mm. Well, to be honest, that's something I want to change. I want to try to be more present to the audience, you know. I think it's actually kind of introverted to be up there and be into the music.
Did I just bring up a sore spot for you?
No, it's not a sore spot at all. It's just, you know, something I think about, you know.
Right.
Like, but it is something that I think about, that I close my eyes, I hunch over, I play the guitar, and I just like kind of get transported away. And I mean, that's fine. That's accepted in jazz. But lately I'm like, I'd like to open my eyes. I'd like to see the people before me and try to like play something and see what they feel, you know, and try to connect with them. I think that's something that's important, you know, that I'd like to, you know, to work on.
Interesting that you would say that, because one of my favorite guitar players who has performed in here, and I've told you this before, Tommy Emmanuel.
Oh, man.
He and I have become, you know, acquaintances over the years. But when he plays, he is able to get a little mixture of both. Mm. He breaks down the fourth wall real quick, but he's also right into it. Like, he's in the pocket, in the zone, into his guitar, but he's also very aware of his performance values.
Right, right.
So good luck with that.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to try.
Let's have a little listen to this guitar. We're going to do a flying sound check, as some might say. So, listen to that. Playing. What's the first song you're going to do?
I was going to do T for Two, the old jazz standard.
I love it.
Yeah. And
who wrote this, by the way? Do we know?
Oh, I'm not sure. That's a good question.
It's so old,
I want to say Vincent Humans, but, you know, I'm sure the jazz police are listening to this right now. And
yes, because the jazz police...
We're going to go pick them up down in Oakville.
They're known to listen to this show.
And the OPP jazz police.
Well, again, live and our privilege and pleasure to have again on the Drew Marshall Show, Nathan Hiltz. So good. So good. Nathan Hiltz live on the Drew Marshall Show. You know, when you can kind of make the whole thing happen with just you and the axe, you know you got something going on.
Oh, man.
Because, no, but I think a lot of guitar players feel that, where is everybody? Do you feel naked with just you and the guitar?
I do. I mean, I love the challenge of it. I think solo guitar is something I've been coming to terms with over the last couple of years because... You know, sometimes, you know, you just want to be able to play a tune. You know, someone says, hey, play a song for me. And, you know, if you don't have bass or drums with you, it's hard. So it's something I've been working on a lot, play the solo guitar and, and, you know, be able to, you know, just get my full expression out without any help from anyone else.
You know, a guy that I've watched recently, Sean Pynchon, have you heard of him or seen his
stuff? I've heard of him, yeah.
He's kind of one of these guys that have come on the scene as of late. He's been working his chops for the last, you know, I don't know, 20 years or whatever. Mm. But people are sort of saying, wow, where's this guy come from? And people, you know, he said to me when he was here doing the show, he wasn't sure about his vocals.
Mm.
But his vocals match with what he's doing. So a couple of questions to you. Do you sing or do you have any desire to bring your vocals? Mm. Look at your face. You just
I don't. Not really. I mean, you know, I've tried to be a singer over the years, but...
Are you horrible?
I'm not horrible. I'm just... Well, I'm not... Yeah, I'm horrible. Yeah, let's say I'm horrible. but I play with so many wonderful singers.
But that's why.
You know,
no, I see that as a crime.
I love that company. But, you know, I do sing a lot at home, and it's a very important exercise to get melodies into my head and into my heart, like to be able to sing things while I play them on the guitar. So it's something I do all the time. And you know, I enjoy singing a lot. Like, it's fun. I sing to my baby.
Well, that's exactly. See, I want you to do a lullaby album.
Ah, that would be fun.
Can you do that for me, please? I mean, for your daughter?
You know? How about some of that?
I like it.
Yeah.
No, I mean vocals. I want your vocals.
Oh,
man.
Vocals.
I really do. Who are your heroes, your guitar heroes, to quote the game?
Well, lately, you know, you're mentioning the solo guitar thing. I've been listening to a lot of guys that play solo guitar, so Tommy Emmanuel is definitely one of them.
Really?
But actually, there's some kind of more old school guys that I've been into. Miguel Yobe.
Don't know.
He's a Spanish guitarist. Kind of him and Andre Segovia were sort of contemporaries, but Yobe actually passed away at a very young age, about in his 40s, in the maybe the 1930s, 1940s. So he was an early pioneer of harmonics, which a lot of people know because of the Lenny Bro, you know, like this.
Oh, yeah.
So he was really into that, so I've been checking out his repertoire. And I've also been listening to... this other guitarist, Garoto, who is a Brazilian guitarist. He actually played with Carmen Miranda, that lady that had the fruit on her head, you know? But he also wrote compositions for the solo guitar. So these are guys that, you know, they didn't really improvise so much, but they sat down and thought about the nature of the guitar and wrote compositions that really used the guitar at a very high level, a higher level than you could just making stuff up on the fly.
Yeah.
So it's a real interest to me because it really pushes the guitar to the limit and my technique to the limit to play that music.
Chet Atkins?
Oh, yeah. Chet Atkins is beautiful, for sure.
Django Reinhardt?
He's also really good, yeah.
That's Tim throwing names over my shoulder here.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of jazz guitarists, for me, it's always been Wes Montgomery and Joe Pass. Those are sort of my two big idols that I've really tried to emulate over the years.
So not necessarily Joe Satz, who's coming to town again?
Satriani,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's amazing, but I haven't checked him out too much.
No, but he ain't your thing.
He's not my thing.
He's the king of the whammy bar, man.
He's pretty cool, though.
He's bald, he's so of course he's cool. Live in studio with the one and only Mr. Nathan Hiltz, who is about to lay down what, young man?
I was thinking another one from the record. I'll do the Spartacus love theme.
Dude.
The love theme from the movie Spartacus.
I'm all over this.
Oh,
I'm
yeah?
so happy you're doing
it's
this.
It's a good movie.
It's a great... This tune is fantastic. This is... Actually, I listened to two. This is one of them, and I just fell in love with your album because of this tune.
Oh, thank you.
Again, Nathan Hiltz on The Drew Marshall Show. Man, you're so good. Nathan Hiltz on the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, at what point in your career do you realize that you're a freak?
A freak? What do you mean?
Is that
probably
what, at what point do you
really young?
At what point? At what point do you sit there and does it actually sink in? Because people compliment you all the time, but do you remember the first time it really sank in, where you went, you know what, I'm okay? Because it's hard for Canadians to hunker down into that. Typically, we leave the pom poms for the Yanks.
Right, right. you know what? To be honest, I've always been like very egotistical.
So, oh.
To be honest, you know, when as a teenager and all that, I was pretty serious. I'm like, oh, I think I'm really great, you know. And then, you know, moving to a city like Toronto, then the humbling thing kind of happens because, you know, the whole brain drain across the country, all the kind of best players kind of end up here.
Yeah.
Or Montreal maybe, or Vancouver too. But, you know, you come here and there's like a dozen guys that are like 10 times better than you'll ever be. So it kind of hits you, you know. But yeah. So
was there a moment though?
No, not really.
Do you, okay? So let me narrow this down a little bit.
Okay.
I keep thinking about what's the name of the band? Mumford and Sons. And there's a video out there where the caption is "When Mumford and Sons realize that they hit it," and all of a sudden the crowd started singing back their song to them in, you know, on force, like on mass. Mm. And you could see the smiles light up over the guys' faces. And they went, wow, right. This is cool, right? That's a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Lyrically, you don't get that moment because you're not a lyrical dude. Mm-hmm. You're just a guitar dude. And you're not going to have 600 people out there with guitars playing the same song back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get it back?
Well, how do I get the feeling back?
Yeah, no, how do you get it back from the audience?
Oh, I see.
Other than at the end of the song, oh, yay, well done.
Well, I would say, like, you know, if I see them moving, that's a thing. Like, even if it's just the wait staff, actually, to be honest. But, you know, people in a club, if you see them tapping their feet or, like, nodding their head and that kind of thing, being taken away physically by the music, then I know that, you know, we're probably doing something right. We're connecting in a certain way, you know?
Yeah.
Even if they're talking and partying and drinking and all that. It's kind of about how they move and all that. But in terms of like a moment where I'm like, oh, I've made it. You know, as a boy, my dream was to play guitar trio in front of an audience at like a club, at a jazz club.
So you set your standards kind of low.
Oh, well, I guess so. I mean, in retrospect, but as a boy, like, you know, in a little town, there's no jazz club there. There's no smoky bar. There's
true.
No that whole dream of jazz, like the archetypical jazz thing. Is something you read about in books or magazines, you know. So when I finally had like some, you know, my own gigs here in Toronto where I got to play all the melodies and I had a bass and drum supporting me, you know, like at the Rex Hotel it probably was, I would have felt like, yeah, this is what I always wanted to do, you know. And now 15 years later, I'm still at the Rex, still taking the tip jar around myself, which I've gotten extremely good at, by the way.
Wow.
I'm really good at just making people want to give me their money.
You know what helps? Bust out a cane or a crutch or something.
Ah, an injury. I never thought of that.
Yes.
Ah, I thought of bringing my daughter. I thought that might
that
be
would
a good
work.
Way to do
that
it.
That would work, yeah.
You know, just have her, oh, she needs some diapers. Oh, could you put some money in the
beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. Yeah. I know a comedian that puts out a sign, all proceeds tonight are going to the children.
Oh, nice.
My children.
Nice, that's good.
That's how it works.
That's good. I actually recently ordered on the internet a card reader. Because the classic thing now is
I don't have cash. I know.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I love your music. You sound so great.
Dude, a panhandler in the street had one.
Oh, really? That's great. Brilliant. Why not? 21st century.
I don't have any cash. Here. Here's a card reader.
Yeah.
What about a club in New York? Have you ever been to one there?
I have. I've gone to jam sessions. I've never had a performance, per se.
You ever go to Birdland?
No, I've never been to Birdland. Blue Note, Vanguard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, the Jazz Standard.
Yep.
55 bar. Yeah.
I don't know the last one.
55 bar is kind of like a smaller kind of club there.
Okay. I need to go to that.
Yeah.
Where is that roughly?
Do you know Greenwich Village.
Oh, yeah. Dude, when I get to Greenwich Village, something weird happens to me.
Really?
I don't want to. I allow myself to read more into things. Like the music is all of a sudden better. You know,
well,
it's hipper.
It kind of is.
Is it true? Though?
I mean,
we're not talking. It's not back in the Paul Simon days or the Carly Simon days. Why does everyone have Simon? You know, it's not just back in those days. Now, is it still the place?
Well, I mean, it's such a difficult place to make a go of it.
It is.
You know, so the only ones that make a go of it are the ones that are amazing. So they all float to the top, all the great ones, you know? So, yeah, I mean, New York's the biggest deal.
Can you let people in a little bit on this sweet little guitar you have here? Tell us about it and explain to us why that neck is so fat.
Well, is it fat? I don't know.
It doesn't? Are you kidding me, Tim? Does that not look fat?
Yeah, it looks to me almost like a classical neck.
It does.
Oh, okay.
How do you not know this? Why is my voice so high?
This is how it came. You know, I don't know. This guitar is made by Roger Sadowski, who's a New York guitar builder guy. And it's the one he designed.
I believe Luthier, maybe.
Luthier, sure. Yeah.
And as opposed to Lucifer, who's also a player.
Oh, stop it.
This is the one he made for Jim Hall, one of my other idols of the jazz guitar. So the neck is actually a copy of Jim Hall's DeCisto guitar, who's one of the great art shop builders. So it's an exact reproduction of that neck. So, you know, it's basically like an ES-175 from Gibson on steroids kind of thing. A little more handmade than...
Nice.
Just beautiful guitar.
Just show off a little bit there. Just what's your warm-up thing?
My warm-up?
Yeah.
Lately my warm-up is extremely boring. Just that.
That's your warm-up.
But, you know, a little warm-up.
Wow.
But I've been studying the classical guitar lately, so my warm-up has literally been how to move your finger properly. Uh-huh. So I just no left hand, just playing notes for a long time.
Yeah, that's...
And making sure the mechanics are perfect.
No, go back to the other stuff.
The other stuff.
Yeah. Is this how you won your woman over? Am I wrong?
Maybe.
Chicks dig this, right?
Yeah, I think chicks. Some chicks do.
Megs, do you dig it?
Megs, are you digging?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think chicks might dig.
Yeah.
Something like that, or maybe like...
What about Girl from Ipanema? Can you just pull that out of your...
Nice.
That's just awkward.
I hope you're talking about thong sandals.
Yes, that's what he was talking about.
I felt like I was in Brazil.
All right. Okay. Oh, man. Kim, would you please do another song for us, Mr. Nathan Hiltz?
You know, I actually, I've been working up a new piece because I was asked to play a tune before the baptism tomorrow, just a little prelude as people gather. So I've been working on Lord of the Dance, which was one of my favorite hymns growing up. So
nice.
I thought I'd try to play that for you.
How spiritual of you.
Oh, boy, thank you. Yeah.
Well, let me just tell everybody that his latest release, Songs Poetic, the release date is May 1st, folks. We're all excited.
Online. It'll be out in the World Wide Web May 1st.
May 1st.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hard copy coming...
Well, hard copies are available, but I guess...
Why would you? Why would you, though?
You know, if you want to see me perform and buy the disc, is in June.
There we go. So
June,
the release, the actual CD release, June 9th at the Rex in Tirana. You got to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
What night is that, do you know?
Thursday night.
Oh.
Yeah, 9:30 p.m.
I'll be there.
Awesome.
Can I come?
Please.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Hiltz. Thank you. Yeah. Make sure you don't screw this up during the baptism, man.
I know. No, that's I know. I'm going to practice a lot tonight.
How to screw up your kid's spiritual life in one easy step. So that's tomorrow?
It's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I'm very, I don't know. I don't know you guys. I don't know your woman or your kid or nothing, but I'm very excited for you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very excited too. And you know what's real special about
it? Are we all invited?
Sure. Come on. Come on down.
Right.
Why not?
Is it at the Rex?
It's a big church.
Oh, okay.
It's a big church. And my dad's actually doing the baptism, which I'm really excited about.
What do you mean?
My dad's a preacher.
Your dad is a preacher?
He's a preacher, yeah.
BK.
He's an Anglican priest. And, you know, he travels a lot with his job, but this week he's in town, and this church has a couple other baptisms that day, so
that's
he's
so going to
come
cool.
in and do this stuff.
Well,
the thing. It's
congratulations, man.
Thank you very much, Drew.
Thank you again for hoofing it all the way in here. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Hiltz is who you've been listening to. His website is nathanhiltz.com, H-I-L-T-Z. The latest release is Songs Poetic. And you can get it online May 1st. The CD release concert will be June 9th at the Rex in Toronto. If you want to find out more about him and don't have time to write all that down, that'll be on our website as well. You can certainly go there. Hey, listen, thank you for tuning into our show. You can listen to that interview we had with Suzanne Summers. Gee, that was about a 40-minute interview we had with the star of Three's Company. Sorry, one of the stars. That was one of the reasons the whole thing broke up. People were trying to figure out who the real star was. Anyway, Suzanne Summers, go to our website at the end of the week. I hope you find the God that sees you. Bye-bye.
For forgiveness then, till the day I die. Though I can't be sure of what I've done, I think I...
You're listening to CJYE, Joy 1250.